Welcome to the online ministry of La Jolla United Methodist Church, a congregation of faithful Christians along the beautiful Southern California coast. Together we seek to grow in individual spirituality and in community with one another. All are invited to join in this vibrant faith community. More information can be found on our website at lajollaunitedmethodist.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
As we move sort of into our primary message time, I invite some of our folks who were leaders in VBS to come forward, and we're going to have a little bit of a conversation about it. We had a great week, and it was super cool. I want to ask you about some of your experiences over the course of this week. We'll have some of our daily themes up on the screens in just a minute. But first, let's remember that VBS started not just this past week, but long ago. And I want to ask Cam and or Zach, because we went over to Santee United Methodist Church, and we, tell me about what we did and what your experience was. I'm going to hand this to Zach.
We got stuff for VBS.
Yeah.
Yeah, we went over there and we picked up all of this, all these like props and everything around here, like this big canvas background and the the frame behind it and these big like makeshift pillars and all that and all the vines on them and everything that were used for VBS back over there, and we brought them all over here to use them for our own VBS.
And did we just do that, just this group here?
Oh, no, there was a whole bunch of other people there as well, people from Santee, people from other churches just coming to help us carry it all over. And there will probably be more people coming to help pick it up and bring it to the next church that it's going to as well.
Sure. And Zach, you said something that stood out to me that day. You said, I'm throwing him under the bus a little bit. He wasn't really sure he wanted to come and help out. But you said, after we got there, you said, this is way more fun than I thought it was going to be, right? What was fun about it? What did you enjoy?
The games that we like sort of made up, that we were able to play some of those, or we were able to make up and lead some of those games that were sort of theme-based, and then we played some that definitely were not.
Sure. Now, Zach is getting into some of the games that were played throughout the week. Let's go now, Emilio, if you don't mind going to our first slide. This is our first day's theme. Day one of VBS.
It's in the same slideshow.
Cameron helped me set this up this morning. All right, Cameron's going to go help. As we're waiting for that, Derek, I wonder if you might have just any standout memories of the week.
Well, for me, it was when I was able to help the kids to walk around and just showing them under the magnifying glass. I was showing them different things to look at, and they were having so much fun. They were walking around looking at leaves, rocks, spider webs, everything, and they were so intrigued by all of this. And it just, it reminds me of why we're doing VBS. It's because we help these children to explore their worth and to have fun and to do all of that while being in the safety of the church and having all these different adults watching over them. So it is a wonderful experience for me, and I have been doing VBS for a very long time, and every time I do it, it just makes me so happy. That's why I would love to do this every year.
Good. Excellent. We've got our slides back. The first day of VBS, we focused on the text out of 1 Samuel, where God chooses David to be king. And we wrap that around the theme of God knows you. And we talk to the children about how God knows who they are and the good things we're celebrating and the stuff that we struggle with, that God is there and that God knows us and that God loves us in all the ways that we express ourselves. And so that was the first day's theme. If we can move to the next day's theme, we continued talking about King David. We talked about the way King David and his predecessor, King Saul, really had somewhat of a tumultuous relationship. And at one point, Saul was sort of, sending soldiers after David. And so we talked about that because we also talked about how in the Bible, in the Psalms, many of the Psalms that are written there are written by King David. And some of those are celebratory Psalms, but also some of those are Psalms that are of lament, Psalms that are filled with fear. And we talked about how even in times that we are fearful, that God hears us anyway. That's right, God hears us anyway. Good. Day three was Wednesday, and we talked a little bit, Zach, you mentioned this earlier today, we talked a little bit about King Hezekiah. And one of the stories in 2 Kings about King Hezekiah is there's this group, and the neighboring country of Assyria is sending soldiers over to Jerusalem, and the king at the time was really sort of concerned, and he gathered all the people into the city of Jerusalem behind the walls, and they were really afraid. And they needed comfort. And the way the story goes, God expressed quite a bit of comfort for them. I want to pause for a second because Rachel was such an incredible leader over the course of this week. And as I'm here going through the daily themes, I realize that I haven't asked you sort of your thoughts. And so is there a day that you want to jump into or another memory that you... So Rachel, I think it might have been Thursday. Didn't you lead the KidVid time on Thursday?
I did, yes.
Yeah. So there was a little bit of a video clip of Rachel leading one of those times and leading down with a microphone to invite one of our young participants to speak. But I want to say, I talk a lot. I'm sorry, I'm a preacher. that was a time, I mean... I've only known you for a year, right? And we haven't had a lot of deep interactions, but you particularly shone in that moment. And so I want to affirm you in that. Rachel has this wonderful, thoughtful theology, a passionate theology, but also a deep commitment to VBS. Can you, maybe something for you to talk to us about is you've been doing this for several years in a row. Tell us what, like, why do you do this and why is it important to you? Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I've been in this church my whole life, and I love working with children, and I think one of the things that stands out to me is, like, all the things that have been given to me as a child in this church, and it's really cool to be able to have grown up in the same environment and pass that along to other kids, and mm-hmm. to see them grow in the Lord and their relationship with Him, and I think it's really special, so...
Thank you. Rachel's going to be reading our scripture in a little bit, but I do want to move on to the fourth day when Rachel was in such a great position of leadership. We talked about the disciple Peter and how in the scripture Peter denies Jesus, but after Jesus is resurrected, there's an opportunity where Jesus and Peter have an interaction where their relationship is reconciled. And we've talked before about the importance of reconciliation, and this is the time when the disciples are fishing, and Jesus shows up, and Peter is so excited, he just jumps into the lake, even though the boat's still partway out into the water, and he swims to Jesus. And Jesus says, "Do you love me? Then feed my sheep." And that happens three times, and we might read that as a sort of reconciliation with Peter after Peter denied him three times. This is the reminder, of course, as we framed it with the children in VBS, that God forgives us, that we're all going to make mistakes from time to time, and God forgives us. And so those were the first 4 days, and then the last day of VBS, we focused on Esther, which is actually our scripture for today. So I want to, can we say thank you to our leaders who helped us out with VBS this week? So I'm going to invite Derek, Cam, and Zach to come on down, and then Rachel is going to read our scripture for today.
Good morning. So our scripture today is out of Esther, chapter 7, verses 1 through 6, and verses 9 through 10, and chapter 9, verses 20 through 22. When the king and Haman came in for the banquet with Queen Esther, the king said to her, "This is the second day we've met for wine. What is your wish, Queen Esther? I'll give it to you. And what do you want? I'll do anything, even give you half the kingdom." Queen Esther answered, "If I please the king, and if the king wishes, give me my life. That's my wish, and the lives of my people too. That's my desire. We have been sold, I and my people, to be wiped out, killed, and destroyed. If we simply had been sold as male and female slaves, I would have said nothing. But no enemy can compensate the king for this and this kind of damage." King Ahasuerus said to Queen Esther, "Who is this person, and where is he? Who would dare do such a thing?" Esther replied, "A man who hates an enemy, this wicked Haman." Haman was overcome with terror in the presence of the king and queen. Harbona, one of the eunuchs serving the king, said, "Sir, look, there is the stake that Haman made for Mordecai, the man who spoke up and did something good for the king. It's standing at Haman's house, 75 feet high. Impale him on it," the king ordered. So they impaled Haman on the very pole that he had set up for Mordecai, and the king's anger went away.
Part of what we talked about at VBS on this last day really continued the theme. We talked on those days about how God knows us. And I would extend that reminder to you. God knows you. In all the ways that we are helpful and positive in the world, and all the ways that we are beautiful and participate in the world's diversity and community, God knows you. And in the ways that we don't feel like we measure up, and the ways that we maybe make mistakes, God knows you in those ways too. And it may seem difficult to think about God knowing us even in those more difficult times, but then we are reminded that God hears us, that God comforts us, that God forgives us. But the text from Esther might also remind us that God chooses us. My friends, as I look around the room, I would suggest God chooses you. God chooses you. God chooses you to live in the world and to work toward making the world a better place. We say the Lord's Prayer every single week to build God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. God chooses you to participate in God's work to make the world better. Now, just as I mentioned in the children's time, right, we're all a little bit different, and we look a little bit different, and we have different backgrounds, and we bring different gifts and skills, and that's essential. That's essential because the work to be done is varied. The work to be done is broad. And so God chooses you with your unique background, with your unique abilities, with your unique hang-ups and brokenness. God chooses you. The way this story goes with Esther, and I hope that you're familiar with the story, is really wonderful. When I was telling the story to the children, we had this, we called it Bible Adventures, and we'd be right outside the chapel on the steps, and I'd be on my knees in a way that my age objected to a bit. And I'd tell these stories, but several of the kids already knew the story of Esther, and they were telling it to me before I got a chance to, and it was wonderful. And they remembered that Esther was chosen to be queen just because the king wanted a new queen. And they remembered why the king chose Esther. He chose her because she's beautiful. But they also understood that not only did the king choose Esther, but God chose Esther. But God chose Esther for very different reasons. God chose Esther because she's smart, because she's strong, because she's compassionate. I would suggest that Esther is one of the profound women leaders in the Bible, because she is strong, because she is capable, because she is compassionate, because she is smart. And she really has to figure out, how am I going to approach this issue with this man Haman who wants to annihilate my people? Because she knows if she just shows up to the king, that she risks not being believed. After all, she's a woman. She knows that she has to choose the timing. But when she chooses that timing and chooses it well, Haman, the exact person who is doing such harm, who is threatening her people, is right there. And she knows she can't say it outright. So she has to develop a plan. Now, what occurs to me is she has to develop a plan is that this is not a plan that she has a whole lot of time to think through. She's got to think on the spot because she's right there in front of the king. If he hadn't held out his scepter in the way that he did, her life would have already been at risk. But the king held out his scepter, so she's got to figure out what to do right now. So she says, well, let's have a dinner party. And that's when, after they've gathered together for a multi-night meal, she figures out the right way to say to the king, it's Haman who is threatening your people, my people. And it's Haman who needs your attention. Mordecai, her uncle, earlier in the story, had sent a message to Esther saying, perhaps God chooses you for such a time as this. It's a beautiful phrase, for such a time as this. I would suggest, my friends, that as we wrestle with what to do as a congregation that wishes to grow, to figure out how to keep one another safe but still experience worship, to experience worship in such a way that we are strengthened so that we can serve our community, the church already looks different, and I'm guessing is going to continue to look different. We're going to have to figure out ways to do church, ways to speak the language of those in our community, and there's going to be some growing pains because we got to figure it out. But here's why I have hope, my friends. Because I believe that God chooses you for such a time as this. I believe that you were empowered and gifted, that you are smart and strong and compassionate and capable. That we might be led by the smart, strong, compassionate, and capable Esther. Remembering that God chooses us and that we are gifted and empowered for such a time as this. My friends, we are God's treasure. Let us do God's good work. Amen.
Now is the time that we respond to the word. And I would invite all of us here to have a tangible way to respond to what we've just heard today. And as Pastor Bob had just mentioned, all of us has been chosen by God as instruments of grace so that we can go out into the world, into the community, and do good works that God has established for us to do. So let us do that and consider different ways we can show God's grace to our neighbors and our communities. Amen.